Thank you for listening to this sermon from MCA Church. If you'd like to learn more about what's going on in our community, head to our website at mcachurch.ca. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, everyone. Our vision here at Mission Creek Lions Church is to encounter Jesus, be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and engage our city and beyond. And so my name is Cameron Stutters, and I am the associate pastor here at MC Church. And it's a tremendously happy and tremendously sad and tremendously exciting day for me today, because today is my last official day as your associate pastor. And so that is both happy because there's something new that we're stepping into, and sad, too, because I won't necessarily be here with you on a Sunday morning. So my journey at Mission Creek Lions Church actually started a long, long, long time ago when I was a kid. I think I might have been born here, and I was baptized here, and then about 6 years ago, we had Pastor Keith come, and I thought, oh, this guy's good, but he's going to need some help. And so God nudged me to apply for the associate pastor role, and I've been your associate pastor for the last four and a bit years. It's been a real privilege to walk with you, to share life with you, to know your stories, to be there, to grow in faith together, and see God do tremendous things through his people and through this church. What a privilege it is. What a privilege, church. So it is sad because I won't be here, but it is exciting because my wife Lee and I, we are onto a new adventure and partnership with MCA Church. We are in partnership to create a new gospel expression in our city that will reach a different demographic of our city that many churches are not really reaching in our city. And so, Lord willing, in 5 years from now, we will have two Alliance churches in our city. We will have Mission Creek Alliance Church, and we will have Lighthouse Communities. Both very, very different in their expression and in their gatherings, and but centered around Jesus and centered around his gospel. And so we are tremendously excited to be launching out into that and the privilege of partnering with you, the people of MCA Church. Thank you. Well, in some ways, in a very, very small way, really, I feel a little bit like Jesus at the Last Supper, in a very, very, very small way, of course, because what Jesus did on the cross and all that is, no one can ever do that. But in a way, I feel like Jesus was giving his disciples that last instruction. Today, I just want to speak to you guys kind of my last instruction as your associate pastor here. So listen up, pay attention. We've got some good stuff to cover this morning. We are in a sermon series on the Holy Spirit. We love and serve one God who is three persons, Father, Spirit, and Son. And the Holy Spirit cannot be put into a box. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman, yet powerful. The Holy Spirit is mysterious, yet knowable. The Holy Spirit is the person of Jesus. And so our pastoral prayer through this sermon series is that you would have a fresh encounter with the living Spirit, that you would come alive in a new way as we speak about the Holy Spirit. And today, we talk about how the Holy Spirit sends us on mission. And so if you have your Bible here, would you turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20? You can use the Pew Bible in front of you and turn to page 756. The text this morning is John 20, verses 19 to 23. John 20, verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Let's take a minute to pray. Father in heaven, what a great, amazing, loving, holy, and pure God that you are. Thank you for sending your Son into the world. Thank you for sending your Spirit. Thank you for creating the church. Jesus, thank you how you are at work. God, we commit this Sunday service and sermon and time to you. We invite your Spirit to come and move in our midst to reveal your truth and to point us to Jesus this morning. Father, on this Canada Day weekend, we pray for our country. We pray on behalf of all Canadians, Lord. God, we first start with confession. Lord, we have not acknowledged you in our country. Lord, we are turning away from you in our country. Lord, we are pushing you out. Jesus, we need you. Only you can fix the brokenness. Only you can overturn injustice. Only you can change our nation, Lord, and turn it back to you. And so, Jesus, we pray for our government, for local municipalities, for our city, for our mayor. We pray for our provincial government. We pray for our national government, Lord. Would you give them wisdom to make wise decisions, Lord? Would you be present when hard decisions need to be made? Lord, and ultimately, may we lift your name high and glorify you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we're talking about mission and how the Holy Spirit sends us on mission. And really the first big idea I want to unpack this morning is that our little story is found in God's big story. When it comes to mission, our little story is found in God's big story. And to understand this idea of mission, we just first need to unpack a few quick things. God's mission can be summed up in a verse in the Old Testament, in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as waters cover the sea." It's a beautiful picture of God's glory filling the whole earth. In other words, God wants his people fully alive, filled with the Holy Spirit, flourishing and reflecting the glory and goodness of God throughout the earth. This is the goal. This is the goal of the church. This is God's mission. And there's a bit of a grand narrative in Scripture that's helpful. And if I was going to give some chapter titles to God's story to make it really tangible, I might start with chapter 1. We are created. We are made in the image of God. We reflect God's goodness. Chapter 2, we are broken. We are broken. Through our disobedience, we brought in brokenness. The connection to God has been broken. The connection to life itself, to each other, has been broken. The connection within ourselves has been broken. Chapter 3, this is a lot of the Old Testament. We are pursued. God is relentless in his love and faithfulness to his people. God is a loving God. I might call chapter 4, we are rescued. This is the story of Jesus coming to earth, living in perfect obedience, dying on the cross, taking our place for sin. Chapter 5, we are restored. We are made new. We are new creations because of Christ. The church is born. And really, it's at this point where we come to John chapter 20. Also, let me paint the picture a little bit for John chapter 20 for you. The disciples have been called by Jesus. They have spent 3 years with Jesus. They have seen him do the miraculous. They have heard him teach about the kingdom of God. And they have been informed and discipled. And Jesus has told them that he's going to the cross to die, and they don't quite understand that. And so when Jesus is arrested and taken away, they abandon Jesus. They just flee, and they're confused. And so Jesus has died, been crucified on the cross, and so here are the disciples, confused, feeling like failures, feeling like that was a fun 3 years, but now what? We've lost our leader. And the risen Jesus comes. And this is their first encounter. The risen Jesus is in their midst. And he bestows his peace. He gives them the Holy Spirit. And then he sends them out on mission. MCA Church, here's what is absolutely amazing in this big story, this grand unfolding narrative that is still unfolding. When people are empowered by the Holy Spirit, the world changes. Sociologist Rodney Stark, he wrote a book called The Rise of Christianity. Get it? Read it. It's very inspirational. He talks about how there's 11 disciples here in John 20. In Acts chapter 1, we see 120 Jesus followers. By Acts chapter 4, there's 5,000 Jesus followers. By AD 180, there's 250,000 Jesus followers. And by the 3rd and 4th century, there are between 5 and 7 million Jesus followers. Half of the Roman Empire, half of the known world becomes Jesus followers. From the early church to the medieval period, here are examples of how Jesus followers, fueled by the Holy Spirit on mission, have changed the world. The humanization of children, they're given dignity. The liberation of women, no longer property. The beginning of hospitals, the beginning of education, the beginning of architecture, the beginning of science. This is what happens when the original disciples were empowered by the Spirit and sent on God's mission. Here's what I want to get at this morning. God is writing a story to make all things new. And God is bringing his good rule and reign to earth. Our faith in Jesus connects our story to God's big story. You know, in my home, we've been doing a Tuesday rhythm of just inputting godly teaching into our kids and discipling our kids. And we've been using a book called God's Big Adventure, and it's been a really good resource. And the point of the God's Big Adventure resource is it just teaches kids the big picture of Scripture. And so we had the lesson of God forming us, and so we made clay little people. And then from there, we're just going through the big story of God. I want my kids to know the big story. MCA Church, your story matters. Your story connects to God's big story. Ross Hastings is a professor at Regent, and he says, "The triune God has a place in his son for your little story." I like that. Your story matters. Your influence, it matters. MCA Church, God cares about your story. God knows your story. And God is inviting you to find your place in God's big story. All right, moving on this morning. Big idea number 2. Mission is who you are because it is who God is. Mission is who you are because it is who God is. Well, life is an adventure. I am currently 35 years old. Yeah, I know I fooled you there, didn't I? I think I'm actually the age that people perceive me at now. I'm not younger or older. But anyways, 35 years old. And in most of my life, I've spent a lot of my young adult and adult years kind of wrestling through what is our identity in Christ? What is that? What does that mean? I was at the age 18 when I encountered Jesus powerfully and was baptized, and God has sent me on a journey ever since. But I found, even in my Christian walk, there are times where we really wrestle with our identity, coming to know our true identity in Christ. Sometimes we are swayed by people's approval, and we seek that as part of our identity. Sometimes we look to our appetites to fulfill our identity. Or sometimes the ambitions within us are not necessarily God's ambitions for us, and we look to those things of proving ourselves to fulfill our identity in Christ. But Jesus gives us his identity. And so I want to take this idea of identity and bring it now to the text and Gospel of John. When we're thinking about identity, one of the most famous verses in the Gospel of John is John 3:16, right? It's a famous verse. God the Father sends the Son into the world, the rescue mission, go to earth, represent the Heavenly Father, live in perfect obedience, die on the cross. And this work of the cross, it breaks the curse of Satan, sickness, and death. And so now we see that same Jesus in John chapter 20. He is alive, and he is standing in the midst of his disciples. This is what makes church, church. Jesus' presence makes church, church. And so what does Jesus do? I want you to follow with me on this one. Let's look at the text again. Verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus uses the word peace to speak over his disciples. What's the significance here? The word for peace that Jesus uses is shalom. It's an Old Testament term. It's a sense of deep rootedness, that everything and everyone is in right relationship with God, that all in the world is as it should be. And so Jesus comes to the midst of his disciples, and before they do anything, Jesus bestows this blessing of peace. It captures this idea of love, of forgiveness, of blessing. Church, this is the gospel. Before we do anything, the Bible says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we do anything, Jesus affirms his love and his care and the identity of his disciples. Get this, church. Identity, or right relationship with God, comes before activity. Jesus bestows this gift of grace, and then he sends his disciples to administer that grace. This is the heart of mission. It is not activity. It is who we are. Our life is found in Christ, and Jesus was sent to the world, and now Jesus sends us into the world. One of the commentators I was looking at this week, his name is Frederick Bruner. He's a really good commentator on the Gospel of John, if you want to check that out. Let me read a quote that he says about the disciples being sent. He says, "If the disciples are sent just as Jesus was sent, can we dare then say that God so loved the world that he sent the Christians, the Michaels, the Amys, the Ryans, the Lorries, the Ricks? That he sent the Christians out into the world so that every single person who is simply trusting the Jesus they represent will not be destroyed, but have deep, lasting life." Frederick concludes, "I think this is what Jesus is saying. We are little Christ." Church, mission is our identity. We are a people marked by the King who brings peace, the King who loves, the King who forgives, the King who blesses. This is who we are. By very nature of who we are, the Holy Spirit, which is within us, will give us impulses and urges to join God in his mission of making all things new. Well, in my first year of Bible college, I went to Canadian Bible College, which doesn't exist now. It's now Ambrose University. And this was in Regina. My first year at Bible college, I remember sitting in a chapel, and the missions committee was giving an update on what the missions team was going to do this year, and there was a call to go on a missions trip to go to Hungary. And I was sitting in chapel, and it was like God was like speaking to me directly, right? Like, this is for you, Cameron. I want you to take this step. There was something within me that was urging me to go. And like most Christians, I ran and I hid, right? When God prompts us in these things that are big and scary, sometimes our first instinct is to run and hide. Unfortunately, I didn't go on the missions trip that year. I successfully hid for 6 months. But then the next year, the opportunity came up again. And of course, God was stirring his spirit to take that step of obedience and join God in what he is doing in the world. Join God in what he's doing. So MCA Church, your identity in Christ means that the Holy Spirit will lead you into God's mission. God is inviting you through the Spirit to participate in God's mission. My question for you today, church, is this. How in tune are you? Are you in tune with the Holy Spirit leadings? Don't miss them. Don't miss them. Your identity in Christ is calling you to step out into the mission. Well, as we're talking about mission and the Holy Spirit this morning, there are some tensions or maybe some misunderstandings that can happen. The first misunderstanding that can happen is about God's mission. And what is God's mission? So I have a bit of a question. What matters to God? Which of these matter to God? Does saving souls matter to God? Does creation care matter to God? Does bringing justice where there is none matter to God? The answer is yes. All of these things are deeply intertwined. In the Bible, Jesus gives us the great commission in Matthew 28. It says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. But before we get there, Jesus gave us the great commandment to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. And even before we get there, we have to back up all the way to the creation mandate where God tells Adam and Eve to go create, to cultivate, to steward the earth. All of these things are wrapped up and interwoven into God's mission. Ross Hastings quote, he's a professor at Regent, "The business of evangelism is to help people obey the great commandment and become fully human." In other words, evangelism outside of the context of humanization is not biblical evangelism. In other words, the gospel is for all of life, every area of life. I think another misunderstanding that we might fall into is misunderstanding the Holy Spirit as it relates to mission. There's a temptation for leaders to say, okay, go be on mission, go do mission. But we do not do mission for God. We do not try and do good things for God. This is not the gospel. Instead, we participate in Christ through the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is at work in us and in this church and in the world, and we participate with what the Spirit is doing. One of the other things that can hold us back from a life on mission is fear. Sharla, in her video interview this morning, she was sharing about, as God was nudging her towards a mission focusing on youth, she was feeling fear of the unknown, fear of moving away, fear of different, fear of unknown things. Let me read a quote from a book that a friend posted online. Faith is not the absence of fear and doubt. It is stepping right through the fear and doubt and moving past what comes against us in our thoughts. Faith is not waiting till these things are gone. It's moving right through our doubts and fears to step into the place of authority and identity that is ours at the King's table. It is understanding that our power will fail, but His will not. This is how we overcome fear. So this morning, I want to give you some just some practical tips on getting started in a life of mission. How can we be empowered by the Spirit to a life on mission? We have to remember our little story is found in God's big story. Mission is part of that identity of who God makes us to be. And lastly, we participate by the Spirit. So what are some ways that we can begin a life on mission and really engage our city and beyond? First, begin with prayer. Start praying. Begin a dialogue with God. God, where are you at work in my world? Where are you at work in my neighborhood? Where are you at work in my family? Begin this prayer conversation, but don't just do it alone. Do it with your empower group. Do it with your home group. Do it with the people that you share a Christian life with and see what God stirs up in your midst. Second, your story matters. How has God shaped you? What desires does God give you? What longings has God put in you? What unsettles you? What holy discontent do you have? Working at MCA Church the last 4 years, I've really enjoyed seeing God's mission in action. And sometimes we would have people simply drive by this busy street, and there was something within that person, and they just felt like, I have to stop here and talk to somebody. And they felt safe coming in this building and talking to a pastor, and it's been a joy to talk to those people, and some of them are connected to our congregation or connected to other ministries in our city. And it's been amazing how God stirred people who are on a path. On the other hand, I've also seen people who simply just have a hard time coming to the church building. Many of my friends and neighbors feel that way. And so God has put this desire in Lee and I to create a different expression where they can feel like they belong and explore matters of faith. God is using your story to shape you and lead you into mission. What are the things that you're passionate about, church? God has gifted you uniquely. The Spirit has given you gifts. Another step is thinking about what are the good things? What are the positive things about your community? What are the positive things about your neighborhood or workplace? How can you, as the church, reinforce those good things? This is a way that we can step into mission. City of Kelowna has the Journey Home Initiative. And this is an initiative in our city to reduce homelessness and see people restored and taking steps of wholeness in their own life. This is a good thing. This is not a church thing. This is a city thing. But as a church, we can reinforce that work. That is a good thing that God is doing in our city. In my own neighborhood, it's quite a social neighborhood. There's always potlucks and hangouts. Lee and I, as the church in our neighborhood, we reinforce those things. We reinforce those things. Another step, what do you see as brokenness in your neighborhood or home or school or university? Where is something negative in that community? Pray and ask God to invite you into being the church in those areas. One example from a pastor friend in the U.S., he was talking about in his congregation, someone that he's connected with, some young entrepreneurs started a denim jeans company. They were very bothered by the clothing industry where the manufacturing is very inhumane, long hours, child labor. It's very inhumane and very unjust. And they were so bothered by this that they, as Christ followers, said, we got to do something. And so they started their own jean company. Ethically sourced, fair wages. They started a jeans company. This is one way that we can step into God's mission. In our city, we have many lonely people. How can we step into being a welcoming church? take the steps as the Holy Spirit leads you. This morning, as we've turned to John chapter 20, 19 to 23, church, I want you to know that Jesus is in our midst. Jesus is the church. And he begins with his peace, and he begins with his presence. He has a place for you in his big story. And we are sent out on mission because this is part of our identity in Christ. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to do this. This morning, as we wind down the message, we come to the communion table. The communion table is the king's table. The King Jesus has all authority and all power, and he is inviting you to take your place at this table. He has a seat for you here. And if you put your trust and faith in Jesus, then you are sons and daughters of the King. You have royal identity, church. And he has given you a royal mission to join God in the rebuilding of the universe. The communion table, it points to Jesus, the Jesus who died in our place, the Jesus who went to the cross, was buried, and rose again. The communion table, it points to the Father who sent the Son into the world. And the communion table, it points to the church, Jesus with his nail-scarred hands standing in the midst of his disciples. The church was created by Jesus and sent into the world. So communion servers, would you come and take your place in the balcony and take your place up front? Just a few words about how we participate in communion at MCA Church. First, if you are saying yes to Jesus, then communion is for you. We come in a posture of receiving. Just like Jesus bestowing that gift of grace on his disciples, they didn't bring anything to the table. Jesus brought his peace. Third, if you need a gluten-free, there's gluten-free at each section. And so what we do is we just queue up and we come forward and we receive the bread of life and the cup of life. And so as we come forward this morning, church, I want you to imagine that scene and that setting in John chapter 20. The disciples are fearful, they're afraid, they're worried. And the living Jesus comes and stands in their midst and gives them peace and love and forgiveness, empowers them by the Holy Spirit, and then sends them out. And they are overjoyed at the presence of Jesus. This is what the Lord does. He fills us with the Spirit, and then he sends us out. So as you come to the table, imagine the living Jesus meeting you there and giving you what you need through the Spirit this morning. Let's participate together.